Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have a report from Trent down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we've got an interesting and lengthy interview with longtime Hayward area fishing guide Jim Leahy. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
By mandated guidelines, Hayward Power Sports is permitted to remain open and well. However, they'll be operating under reduced hours from 9 until 3, Monday through Saturday. With the health and safety of their customers and employees as priority one, they'll have a limited number of staff to comply with COVID-19 social distancing. They encourage setting up appointments for delivery and pickup of machines and respectfully ask that all tire kicking be done online at haywardpowersports.com. Please don't hesitate to reach out at 715-462-3674 as they remain dedicated to serving you and your outdoor needs. Hayward Power Sports thanks all their loyal customers.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, right next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. Well, folks, you know, the long-awaited fishing season opener is finally here, and people are getting out on our lakes, and I hope everybody out there has a great weekend and catches some fish. You know, our lakes have been open for quite a while now as far as ice off, and there have been some people out there catching fish and, you know, spending time out there on our lakes. I had a chance to talk to Trent down at Hayward Bait and Bottle talking about the fishing and what's been going on coming up to this weekend. So let's hear what he had to say as far as a report from this last week or so. Down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, had a chance to talk to Trent Hoff. And Trent, what are you seeing? I know it's been kind of tough times here with everything kind of closed down, but there have been guys going out fishing, and I'm getting good reports.
Yeah, you know, like you say, it's been a little slower lately, but we've still been getting good reports on the sucker fishing. That seems to be pretty successful right now. People are targeting dams, and that seems to be working pretty good for them. And also, we've been hearing, you know, some smallmouth fishermen and pan fishermen getting out there as well. Sounds like those crappies are kind of holding up in about 15 to 20 feet of water, most people have been saying. And bluegills maybe about 5 feet shallower on average.
Well, them crappies, I think you're going to start seeing the crappies moving up shallower too as that water starts to warm.
Oh, of course. You know, we're going to be seeing a lot of stuff moving up as this water starts to progressively get warmer. And actually, you know, once that opener kicks in, we ought to be seeing some walleye in pretty shallow as well. Last year, about this time, we were able to pick them off about 5 feet of water.
I think their walleyes mostly are going to be post-spawn, because as I'm recording this, I've been seeing them running in the rivers with spotlight.
Yeah, you know, the ice did go out a lot earlier this year than last year, so that doesn't surprise me that much. However, you know, in the evenings, we're keeping our fingers crossed that we should still be able to pick them off shallow in the morning and evening.
Well, you know, and that's actually a good plan if you're going for the bigger walleyes. You want the bigger ones to go out there in the evening and even after dark and throw crankbaits, because that seems to be when the bigger ones are more active.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, even a size 6, like X-Rap, can be a decent size. A lot of people like to go maybe a little bigger, like a size 8. But, you know, just going down one size, you might not get the bigger fish, but you might catch a few more and maybe something a bit more in that eater range.
You bet. Well, talk about the crappie fishing here, too. Is that the one thing is the crappies, they will be holding out deeper, but as soon as it starts to warm, they'll start actually coming up vertically in the water, straight up toward the shallower, suspending, and then they tend to move up shallow and go toward the shallows.
Right. And also, you know, crappies, certain times of the year, they do want to just kind of sit in one spot. A lot of times guys make a mistake. They try to chase them around too much, but once you find them, a lot of the times they don't want to move too far from where they're at. So a lot of times if you just slow down that presentation, that can also trigger a few more bites for you.
Yeah, and if you do find them shallow, be aware that you can spook them really easy, so stay out away from them.
Absolutely, especially if you're fishing really clear water. Round Lake is a very clear lake, and Eau Claire Chain, waters like that, you know, it can be a little more challenging to get closer to those fish.
You know, once in a while you actually see them sticking their backs out of the water up real shallow, and that presents a whole other challenge because anything you throw out there is underneath them and they don't hit, so you almost got to be on the surface.
Oh, definitely. Actually, fly rod fishing can really pay off then. You're not having a bobber slap the water and spooking them. It's just a bit more of a natural presentation that they're more accustomed to.
And the smallest floating Rapala works too. Talk about sucker fishing. The guys have been getting out there. I've been wanting to get out and catch some for the smoker. Got a brand new smoker I want to try out. But, you know, they've been, say, you said below dams. What have they been using, just crawlers?
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, that seems to be the ticket. Just throwing a good treble hook down there a lot of the times with a big gob of crawlers. And once they sniff that out, they should be pretty hungry.
What have you been seeing or hearing on guys talking about turkey hunting? That's underway right now. Have there been any reports?
You know, I haven't heard any success stories. However, I've heard of a lot of people seeing a lot of turkeys and toms, myself included. It seems like this time of year I've been able to pattern quite a few different broods. Just unfortunately haven't had the time to get out there yet myself.
There's quite a few birds out there I'm seeing too now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's nothing like it used to be even 5 to 10 years ago. I mean, I'm seeing them almost in abundance as the deer. I mean, every night I go home at the same time, and I can just about bet on it that I'm going to see the same two toms in the same spot every night.
You know, it was kind of interesting the other day. I took a drive, me and the wife and the dog. We went out around the backside of Moose Lake in the middle of nowhere in the National Forest. And there was a few turkeys running across the road in front of us in the middle of nowhere. And that's out in wolf country and predator country. I mean, that's like where I last place I'd expect them.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, we're starting to see them in places we're not used to seeing them. And the numbers have just been boosted so dramatically that, like you said, we're seeing them in places we shouldn't really be seeing them. It has affected the grouse population some. But that being said, still hearing grouse typically at night. You can hear them beating their chest and everything.
Drumming.
And, oh, yeah, they're drumming. So they're still around.
You know, you guys are all geared up here, just kind of waiting for that early fishing season opener. You got just about everything in here?
Yeah, we're kind of still trying to get everything out as we speak, but there's going to be a lot of new product this year, over 1,000 new items to come in and check out. So the store is going to look a little different this year. So if you're not finding what you're looking for, feel free to ask one of our associates, and we'll be more than glad to help you with anything you need.
You bet. Well, thanks a lot for taking the time talking to our listeners here, Trent.
You're very welcome. Thank you, John.
Well, Trent had some good information for us there. You know, the water temperatures have shot up quite a bit with all the warm weather we've had lately, so I think a lot of the best action is probably going to be in under 10 feet of water out there as a rule of thumb for most lakes. You know, we're going to have to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make the show possible every week. When we come back, I've got a very lengthy and a very good interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Jim Leahy. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and they've now expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. No matter what you're fishing for, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. And while you're there, in their bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. And also don't forget, now they carry Shoremaster docks, lifts, and accessories at Hayward Bait and Bottle.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports provides you the ultimate fishing experience with Lund Boats. Lund's exclusive IPS hull provides precise boat control and a soft, dry ride, no matter how rough the water is. Add in Lund's state-of-the-art live wells, ultra-comfort seats, and ample storage, and you're ready to fish like a pro. Plus, Lund Boats hold their value like no other. I'm Johnny, and I want to show you the ultimate fishing experience with a Lund from Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Or call us at 715-462-3674.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors with myself, John Magri, and today we're talking to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Jim Lee. You know, Jim's been up here for a lot of years as a fishing guide. He worked part-time for a while, but full-time now. And, you know, he remember Hayward Guide Service and knows the Chippewa flowage really good, as well as a lot of the other lakes up here, and does a lot of fishing and does some bear hunting guiding. So we had a chance to talk to Jim on the phone here. Let's hear what he had to say about spring fishing and some great tips.
We're talking to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Jim Lee. And Jim, been a very difficult year this year with that COVID-19 and everything. Could be hard on all the businesses, including the guides, I think.
Yeah, it is. It's really unfortunate. One of those things that we're going to have to get through it. And hopefully folks can still go out and fish under the rules and have a good time. I don't know, you know, tourist-wise, hopefully we can salvage a really good June. That would be great. Or, you know, after the 26th and before that for some of the businesses that, you know, are open, of course. But, yeah, it's a different year, that's for sure.
You know, talking about the fishing, the one thing anybody can do, all the people are listening out there, they can go fishing, and you know, you'll have to probably abide by certain rules, like it can only be one family unit in the boat, not strangers, not a group of guys in a boat or whatever, and so you can practice that, you know, social distancing, they call it. But people want to get out fishing. You know, what do you think it's going to be like this year as we go into from, you know, opener to May and into June? Because everything got going early this year. What usually do you see?
Well, I think, you know, the fishing pressure will probably be light. I kind of like these early springs myself, because on the flowage, especially those walleyes that are up into the rivers, they come down and they spread out, and you don't have to, you know, fish with a bunch of, you know, in the crowds. Of course, this year there probably won't be any crowds, but I still like these years. What I like to do is fish the points and any kind of a point that goes near a river channel or where those walleyes were migrating. And then, you know, I still like the hard bottom. I kind of look for, on a year like this year, daylight hours probably, you know, 8 to 16 feet. 16 would be on probably the deeper side, unless it's super, super clear. And midday, you know, you might get them a little bit deeper. But what I like to look for are more of the shelves that, not the real abrupt shoreline, but drop-offs, but the kind of the gradual, like the 3 to 8 to 12. And then I'll start on that deeper side, and I'll work into them. And if it's, you know, heavy dusk, I'll go right into the 3 to 8 foot and throw some crankbaits. And this year, with that water temperature and that probably 48 to 52, I'm thinking, degrees on opening day, it depends on the weather, of course, but with that temperature, they'll chase down crankbaits, and they, you know, that'll produce some hatches. It could be some pretty good fishing opening weekend.
Jim, once we get past the opener, we get into mid to late May, what's your tactics as far as finding catching walleyes out there?
I like, you know, those mid-May to late May, the sunken bogs are always a good daytime bite. And that can, you know, you they're kind of hard. Those fish are hard to spot with the electronics, but traditionally, unless they're off the bottom. But it's not, I have seen them be you know, if they're off the bottom a little bit. But basically, what I'm looking for are the sunken bogs that are on a hard bottom. And I like to either fish those with a slip bobber and a leech or a weedless jig in the middle. And more the weedless jig in the middle first, and then... If we start missing a few fish, or I know that there's some fish on that spot, then I'll do a real slow presentation of the slip bobber and a minnow. And, you know, the slip bobber and the minnow, I kind of like using the wild bait if I can get it, because it just, you know, the trap bait, because it on a slip bobber, they really, really move around a lot. But if not, just good fat heads. And then in the spring like that, I'm probably fishing within 18 inches of the bottom. It's not like the summer bite where I'll go, you know, half the distance sometimes, but fishing a little closer. And then it's not a bad time, depending on the spring, and especially on the west side of the flowage, I like to fish the clear lakes on the west side, because those weeds start coming up about the third or fourth week in May, and if you can catch them when they're just coming up, there's a lot of bait fish in there, and if you have low light, you can catch those walleyes in the weeds. They're not there a lot in the daytime because of the shallowness, and those weeds haven't given them enough cover yet to break up the sunlight. But low light, those weeds can be great fishing.
You know, when you talked about fishing the sunken bogs, that is one thing that makes it a little bit harder, because if you're fishing on a lot of the clear lakes, it's pretty easy to see those fish on your depth finder, whereas you get in those sunken bogs, there's so many ups and downs and real steep up and downs in there, creating a whole lot of dead areas that your depth finder won't see, and the fish can be in those areas, and that's why you don't see a lot of fish a lot of times in the bogs, because of that sheer up and down in that area that you're trying to fish.
Yeah, and you know what I do with that is I have probably about a half a dozen traditional spots that I fish in the sunken bogs, that those walleyes are there, but the problem is, like you said, there's a lot of some of these spots are, you know, 30 acres of them and or bigger, and trying to find those a pinpoint spot in that can be a little bit difficult. What I like to do on sunken bogs though in the spring is I like to look for the top of a sunken bog that is in that 8 to 12 foot range, even shallower the better actually, but typically you don't see many in that shallower than the 8 that time of the year, but when you find those are the pieces of the bogs that I catch more fish on, rather than just the, you know, 26 foot of water to 18 real quick, or 16 and then back down to 24. That, you know, sometimes I'll get a lot of little fish in those types of water in the spring. The bigger fish seem to be in the flats, it seems, and I'm sure there's more bait, and you know, water temperature isn't an issue, and they're dark water flowage, they not a lot of light penetration, so but the best way to do that is really to go along with your trolling motor and just jig and use your spot lock when you get a fish, and because otherwise they're such big expanses. I even spot lock if I get a hit. Now, I know there's walleyes there, even though we might have missed it, but I know they're there, and then we can work it a little harder.
Well, that spot lock in Minnekota trolling motors with that spot lock has really been a game changer. In my boat, I've got a 25 or 28 pound anchor that's never left the back of the boat in the splash well in 3 years since I bought the boat. I just use that spot lock all the time. It works for slip bobbering, it works for anything.
Yeah, you know, they're good. You know, I still use my anchor sometimes if I'm really fishing the slop kind of weeds and I'm into a pocket or something, but in really shallow water. But for the most part, the spot lock is kind of replacing those anchors. Plus, anchors are hard on your back, and I was, for years, I was using a Richter anchor. I think it was 35 pounds, and boy, I lost a couple of those, but I'll tell you what, they held the boat in anything, but there were many times where I had to go in circles to get my anchor back, and I was like, yeah, I'm happy that there's the spot lock feature that just made that a lot easier.
Well, you know, and the other thing, too, is that, you know, we can troll now. We're talking about the Chippewa flowage in all lakes, but you're allowed to troll, and trolling is an option, a good option, too, in the right times on the chip, because you can catch walleyes doing that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, some of the good trolling baits that I've used, and actually sometimes I'll do that to locate where the walleyes are, and then they'll head into shore, and you know, but in that probably 6 to 9 foot, I'll use a flicker shad. Some of the X wraps and shad wraps, they'll get down there a little bit. And when you troll, they get down there a lot more than what you would when you just cast. But trolling's a good option. When nothing else is working, you surprising what you catch trolling for walleyes out there. You'll get northerns, you'll get crappies on those crankbaits, and I've had actually some really good days just catching crappies on crankbaits, and they're normally the 10 to 12 inches. They're good ones, and crappies love those.
Well, folks, we're going to have to take another break right now and hear from more of the fine sponsors that make the show possible every week. And when we come back, we'll have the second part of that interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Jim Leahy. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Carlson Motorsports is Hayward's newest auto dealership. If you're looking for a used vehicle, stop in today. Carlson Motorsports is located just north of the intersection of Highway 63 and 77 on Windrose Lane. Give them a call today at 715-634-1347.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, is the host, and we're going to jump right back into that second part of that interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Jim Leahy.
The trolling is really a really good option once we start getting later into June and we start getting into warm water times and we start seeing all these bug hatches. And when you start seeing a lot of fish up high in that water suspended, they get awful hard to catch with anything. You can throw a bobber on them and they don't seem to bite. You can try right. Fishing with a jig, but if you troll crankbaits through them, a good chance they're going to bite, because I think it's a more of a reactive bite.
Yeah, you're right. You're going, that bait is going through their zone, and they a lot of times jump on it, whereas, when you're slip bobbering, a lot of times if you have fish that are just sort of in a neutral or negative mood, it's that bait, they have a lot of times just too much time to examine the bait, and that can work against you sometimes, and that always brings up the topic for me when it comes to live bait. Have your best bait out there all the time. When you buy your minnows, keep that aerator on them. It doesn't help to have six dozen minnows in a bucket when really two or three is all you're going to use, because that two or three dozen is going to keep way, way more lively, and lively bait is the name of the game. Same with leeches, refrigeration, and I always keep a cooler in my boat, or the cooler packs. I've used, the leech boxes and stuff, but the biggest thing with the leeches is keeping that water ice cold, and it's like you put the hook in them, and they hit that warmer water that's like, 60, 70 degrees, and they squirm like crazy, and that's what catches the attention of the fish.
I know some of the new bait coolers now for minnows are really good. I've had very good success with, I got an angle cooler, and I've also got a Frable that have aeration systems on them, and boy, you get out there even in hot weather and hot days, the minnows stay good and lively and good.
Yeah, if the bait shops have that ice cold water, so that gets put in there and then it's an insulated bucket. Yeah. Keeping your bait fresh is a huge, huge. I mean, there are times when you can catch walleyes on dead bait, like a minnow that floated up on your bucket and you're jigging, and they're really aggressive. It's fine, but a lot of times, changing out the bait really makes a big difference, and that's just something to think about when you're fishing with live bait.
You bet. Let's talk a little bit about panfish too, because once we get toward the end of May and in there, you're going to crappies at some point in toward the end of May, they'll be spawning the bluegills, and that's another good option for people to go out and catch fish, especially if you're out there and the walleyes aren't doing anything. You kind of target the crappies, bluegills, and then go toward evening more or overcast, go for your walleyes.
Yeah, I do that a lot, and really, people that like to eat fish, crappies and bluegills are just so hard to beat. So with the the limits that are on the walleyes, a lot of times you just can't go out there and get your nine keepers and you have a walleye dinner and everybody's happy. That's great, but the, you know, realistically, you know, if you can get two or three, four really nice, decent keeping walleyes, and then, you know, 8-10 crappies and the same in bluegills, if you can eat that much fish, but that's a much better bag for the lake and actually for the frying pan.
Yeah, you know, in that time of the year, most of the panfish are going to be real shallow, and that's when
right.
A lot of people seem to be able to catch them easier. Once they move out into that deeper water, I mean, I like the deeper water fishing for them because I'm, you know, getting with my electronics. I got a lot of good electronics on my boat, and finding them with side imaging and stuff is a very good option in the summertime. But a lot of people just find it much easier to find the crappies and bluegills when they are up shallow, usually toward the end of May.
Yeah, exactly. You know, with a good way to find those on the flowage is look for beaver houses with feed beds, old beaver houses with feed beds, down trees. The backs of the bays, but you know, even in some of the channels going into the Clearwater lakes are always a good area for and when I say the Clearwater lakes, I'm talking, you know, Crane Lake, Chief Lake, Crystal Lake, Scott Lake. The different passes that go into those attract a lot of crappies, and it's just, you know, a lot of times you can just see them with your Polaroid glasses, and same with the bluegills. And it's a great time to take kids fishing, and people, like you said, that just want that action right off the bat, not have to hunt real hard for them, like, you know, like you do sometimes in the summer when they're in, you know, 18 to 26 feet of water. You gotta, it's a complete different game. But yeah, they're easier to catch, and, you know, we always, talk to people about that, I always, you know, have to tell them too that be careful on what you keep. You keep enough for a meal. You don't need to, you know, even if the limit is 25 apiece, I think that's a little high. You know, three people, 75 big crappies. I'm not into that kind of a thing because, you know, eat the fresh fish and let the other ones go. And but overbagging, you know, panfish when they're on the bed is something that everybody needs just to be aware of.
You bet. You know, there's more and more of the guides out there, myself included, where, you know, if they get 20 to 30 panfish, that's more than enough. That's it. I mean, the limit might be, you know, 75 for three people in the boat, but we're not going to take that many.
Right, right. And, you know, I do that. I think all of the guides do that I know of, and it's just one of those things that is just common sense. And when you're talking 8-inch bluegills and 10 and 11-inch crappies and bigger, these fish have some pretty good sized fillets. So, you know, you clean 25 or 30 of those, you've got a big bowl of fillets.
Well, Jim, it's been real interesting talking to you here. Anybody that's looking for a guide trip this summer, how do they get a hold of you?
715-558-9719. And hopefully the phone will be ringing, John. I'm kind of crossing my fingers. But, yeah, it's just one of those years that it's just, you know, there's so many unknowns. But at least the snow's melted and the lakes are open, and go out there and catch some fish, and we can legally fish. So, you know, I just encourage everybody to go out there, follow those rules, and eventually they'll be lifted and we'll be good to go.
Yeah, you know, guiding or not, I'm going to be out there fishing. I mean, life's getting too short at this point to not go out fishing.
Right, right. It you just got to go, and it's just one of those things. It'll be a memorable spring that hopefully we never have to have another one like this, you know, make the best of it, I guess.
You bet. Well, Jim, again, it's been a pleasure talking to you here, and maybe we get a chance, we can get out and do some fishing if we can't go guiding.
Great. I got a new boat.
Okay.
Thanks. All right.
Thanks a lot for taking the time here with our listeners.
All right. Thank you.
Well, you know, Jim is always an interesting guy to get on the show because it can tell you about a lot of tips. Been up here a long time, like I mentioned before, guiding. And, you know, we're going to jump into a couple other things here as we wrap up the show. If you're looking out there, don't make the mistake of running too deep right away, because generally speaking, on most openers, especially now, you're going to find most of the best fish, the bigger fish, up in probably 10 feet of water or less. And don't overlook going out there in the evenings and even up till after dark and casting crankbaits looking for some of them bigger fish. might be a little bit better odds of catching those bigger walleyes. Well, folks, you're about out of time for this week's show. I want to remind folks out there that if you miss a show, you can always get that show. Go to our website, wnoradio.net, and from there you can link to our podcast site. The show is also on Spotify. And as I leave you here for the day, I want to remind you to go out and support our sponsors out there and the local businesses in the area. These times have been a very trying times for everybody. Anyway, I'm out of time for this week. I want to thank everybody again for tuning in, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show.
Me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.